B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 tonight. Sal Powell hour, by the way. He'll come up at 5:15. Our 5 o'clock hour, as always, brought to us by Guida Door and Window. You can get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, let's get right back to the phones with Frank in New Jersey. He wants to talk about my favorite player on the team.
Look, what happened Saturday night? Did you see that game?
I was there.
Good. Who was missing?
Corky Doo.
Who wasn't playing?
Corky Doo.
Furkan.
Yeah.
He puts Furkan in and they die.
Well, most people don't see it that way. Most people love to see the Turkish right hander in there.
No. He can't face up anybody. He has no lateral movement. He can't guard.
I've told myself I'm not commenting on him anymore. So go ahead. Well, Just tell me what you think.
I can comment on it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So he can't play. He's a stiff out there. Wandering around trying to figure out.
I will say this. The head coach thinks he can play. I disagree.
Well, I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence was what happened on Saturday night against Miami. That was the team we want to see. We don't want to see them thinking about anything. Furkan's thinking out there. He has no flow. He has no basketball instinct.
Well, he wasn't the reason they lost last night, but I agree with you in general.
Well, I'm not blaming it on him. I'm just saying, can't you notice the difference between Saturday
night? No, the head coach thinks he can play. It befuddles a lot of people, including myself.
Well, he's going to get fired.
It befuddles Tyrone. I knew that.
That's why he's going to get fired.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He won't get fired unless 40 games go by and they're not playing consistent, good basketball.
I'm telling you, Furkan takes the life out of the team.
Yeah, I don't know if he takes the life out of the team. I just don't think he adds that much.
He does. They don't want to play with him.
I don't know if it's all that. I just don't think he adds anything and doesn't have the ability that the head coach thinks he does. Now, the head coach, by all measures, knows more about the game than me. Although there have been cases in baseball where I think I learned a lot more than anybody who runs that organization. But I digress.
We got a real baseball man as manager now.
Right. It is possible that Brett knows more about Korkmaz than we do.
Oh, yeah?
I said it's possible. I don't think it's likely, but as long as he's the head coach, he's got the hammer.
It just kills me when I see it in the game. It makes the game less fun to watch.
Yeah, I've tried to not get aggravated by it.
I can't help it.
It's my new zen-like persona when it comes to that.
That's good of you.
All right, Gene in Newtown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Gene?
I want to talk a little bit about the Sixers. And mm-hmm. Here's my opinion. Listen, Ben Simmons is a heck of a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Kid can rebound. The kid can play defense. He's a heck of a talent. The mistake is that Brett Brown has made him a point guard, and he's really a point forward. Until we get a point guard, how many games have we lost in the fourth quarter when we had the lead? We have a point guard that shoots foul shots in the 50s. We have a point guard that won't take an outside shot. We have a point guard in the fourth quarter that has to throw the ball in because they're afraid of him receiving the ball and getting fouled. Brett Brown finally made a decision in the playoffs last year that he put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands in the fourth quarter. That's the only reason why we went to seven games in Toronto.
No, that's incorrect, because then he gave it back to Simmons, who played a great game at point guard in that series.
Well, I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is...
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. What do you get out of him as your so-called point forward? What is that position that you define here?
You get the ball out of his hands in a critical time.
And he replaces who, and who becomes the point guard?
You know, at this point, listen, we need him on the court. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what's going to get the Sixers. Right,
but if he's going to be in that position, somebody has to be replaced.
Well, right? Let me tell you what I would do.
Okay.
I would trade for Chris Paul, put the ball in the fourth quarter in his hands, and watch the outcome be different. We need someone that's not going to throw the ball away when we have one shot left with 11 seconds to go left.
Now, think of what you're saying, okay?
Yeah.
You can't trade for Chris Paul. Chris Paul makes a lot of money. You wouldn't be able to match salaries to get Chris Paul. So why are you even thinking about it?
I'll trade Chris Paul for Tobias Harris, all right? We make Ben Simmons our point four, and we start winning some games. The ball's in Chris Paul's hands in the fourth quarter. We're not losing. We've lost so many games.
Where does Ben? All right, so okay. But where then does Ben become effective for you in that position?
I'll tell you what. We put him on the box.
Now, see, you're changing your mind. You got him at point forward. Now you put him on the box. Now you got Chris Paul coming in here. You're trading Tobias Harris. Come on, man. It's desperation. Spanky and Cobbs Creek. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
Mike.
What?
Y'all set the Philly feud roster already?
I got you on the list.
That's the fourth, right?
Yeah, it's a four. I'm going to check to see who is available yet. You're on the list. So I got to actually call these people. There might be somebody that can't make it.
All right, let me know because I got to do my schedule.
Okay. The only reason why I thought you'd be on the road, but I got your number down. I have copied down.
Road, that's my job on the other line. I got to take
okay,
this.
Okay, all right, Spanky. All right, buddy. See, I thought Spanky would be traveling, so I put him kind of like as the alternate for the squad. Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
The people of Metz, Missinelli, Eganoff, and Johnson.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, look, I got to start with the position of where my mind is.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be watching the Sixers because I have an interest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as it's going to take it. When I watch them, I'm going to forcibly not get involved when a certain person has the ball in his hands. And we know who I'm talking about when I say that. I mean, number one, it's kind of crazy that a 7-footer scores 0 points. But I'm not talking about that person. I think we already know what Ben Simmons is going to be. You know what we're having the problem with? We're having the problem with not accepting that. And he's accepted it. So in that sense, and you're going to buff against this, my idea is to take and trade him for the player that Golden State picked up. And we get a point guard.
Who? Who are you talking about? You're not talking about D'Angelo Russell.
Yes, I am.
Come on, man.
Yes, I am. Because you will have a person who can play point, who can shoot the jump shot. You know what's very, you know, we talk about the things Ben Simmons, the breathtaking ability, but he doesn't take and add that 25% or whatever it is to make him the player that he should be.
No, I agree with that, but
you know,
I'm not trading
no.
him for D'Angelo.
And you see,
to think to trade him for D'Angelo Russell is
no,
ridiculous.
No, look, we are working on a timetable because we have a player at the center position who we are not knowing how long his life expectancy is going to be as far as a basketball.
Let me just tell you this, okay? D'Angelo Russell does not impact the game like Ben Simmons, even when Ben Simmons is not shooting.
Well, are you talking now? Let's look at it. Let's look at it fairly. Are you?
I'm looking at it totally fairly. You're completely ignoring the defensive end of the floor. You're completely ignoring it.
I'm not ignoring it.
It's
Mike.
Like he has no impact for you, and he has significant impact defensively. D'Angelo Russell is averaging what? 18 points a game, and he doesn't defend like Ben.
Look, Mike. Does Ben? And then look at the other thing. Does he take and shoot the ball the way D'Angelo Russell does? We can't have a point guard have a 2-man game without big man.
Jerome, I hear your problems with Ben. It's ridiculous to think you want to trade him for D'Angelo Russell. All right, come on. Let's go to Ian in Doylestown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Ian.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Ian?
Well, I think I need to eat my words a little bit about Voracek from the other day.
Oh, you hated Jakey. Jakey stuck it right in your hockey rear.
you know, in the last two games, what, he's got two goals and an assist. And I was at the game last night, and you know what? He's actually skating hard again.
There you go. See? In hockey, you can turn on a blink. Sometimes you get behind the eight ball, and sometimes you fly along the sidewall.
Yeah. Wanted to get your opinion.
Sometimes you miss the net. Other times you snipe it. And he roofed that shot last night.
Yeah, from a knee.
Oh, from a knee, roof. Inside the right post, clang. Come on.
Right post, crossbar, and I think it might have got the left post.
Beautiful too. Shot. Apologize to Jakey.
I do. I do apologize to Jake. I know I'm happy he plays well.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Plus, he's got his swagger back, he said.
That's right.
All right. Are we satisfied?
Yeah. What do you think? I do want to know what you think about Ghost being a healthy scratch two games in a row.
I think they're down. I think Vigneault does not like Ghost. Ghost is too.
You think he bounces
Ghost
back
is,
the way Jake does?
No. Ghost is too soft for Alain Vigneault. Ghost is a little slow down. Hey, listen, Gosses Bear, you know why he looked good early? Because he skated better than anybody they had. But there's always kind of a deficiency. He was too small, wasn't defensive enough, was out of position a lot because he wanted to push the puck all the time. I don't think Vigneault likes that type of hockey player.
Wants him to stay home and be fundamentally sound, move the puck the right kind of way.
Yep.
That because he's plus he's attacking so much, you got to have your defensemen be sound because they're up, you know, pushing the zone.
You got to play a special way for AV.
I like all this right. coach. He's so so different than the Flyers my whole life. Other than, I'm trying to think. They might be different than everybody.
Keenan?
Yeah, Keenan was pretty great. But other than him, this kind of hockey is the kind of hockey I think would really grab people.
Now, don't forget their assistants. You still got Lappy there. Tom in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Tom.
Yeah, Mike, before I get to my Ben and my Carson point, we have the greatest man's holiday in the world coming up, a holiday in which you eat, you drink, you swap lives, you watch football, and there are no presents.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's a pretty good holiday.
You just can't beat it. Uh-huh. Anyway, with Ben, I like Ben. I'm a Ben fan, but he's missing something, and I'm not talking about a jump shot. He is missing the killer instinct that I would like to see in him. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Oh. But he doesn't think he likes it. See, therein lies the problem.
Oh, that's the problem. He likes to be cool. Mm-hmm. I realize that, but I like that Kobe Bryant killer instinct, and I wish he had a little more of that in him.
I agree.
Okay, now with Carson, I have a different take on him altogether. I'm a big Carson fan. I think he's been misused. Because from the preseason, they have tried to protect him so much because of past injuries that he is not playing the same game he has been brought up to play. And therefore, he doesn't move around. He doesn't run like he used to. He got to be smart, obviously, and get down. But even guys like Aaron Rodgers will run and slide and Carson has gotten completely away from playing that kind of game. Mm-hmm. And he's too good a player to limit what he can do out there. And we can't play scared or you're not going
to
win.
I totally agree. Right now he's got a confidence problem. And we'll get to our next guest to flesh that out a little bit. Of course, he joins us every Tuesday. He is the preeminent NFL reporter for ESPN. His name is Sal Palantonio.
He is brought to us by Concordville Nissan.
He is. Sal, how are you feeling today?
Well, Michael, happy Thanksgiving to you and to Ty and to Natalie and everybody listening to the great Mike Missanelli program.
Thank you very much, and same to you. And I didn't have the chance to discuss this with you. You actually got a chance to ring the vaunted Sixer bell. And here I am. I got Ugats.
Well, you got to know people, Michael.
No. Tell me what that experience.
Ty was on the air that night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ty's already rang the bell, too. Apparently, you know.
I was on the air that night on Sixers Outsiders, and so I came home from the game and I turned on the show because I love the show.
Yeah.
And
he mentioned you.
I texted him real quick, and I said, Ben must have been inspired by me. That's why he hit his first three.
Yeah.
And when he hit his first three, it was like they were handing out, like Oprah was handing out free iPads to the audience.
Yeah, well, anyway, you rang the bell. You took directions. Was that an experience for you? Does that rank up there or what?
Top 2-3 all time. Got to ring the bell. Top it was two, super three. Cool.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think they'd ask Mikey cool. Miss to ring the bell? Yeah, nah. All right, let me get to...
I'll put the word in for you.
Oh, okay, yeah, please, because apparently it's going to have to come from you before I get a chance to do it. Let's talk about the quarterback. It is a burning issue here in town, Sal. You've noticed it. If you're hearing it. There are two narratives here. Now, one is that this quarterback has a serious confidence problem. The second is that the lack of personnel and maybe coaching has made it impossible for him to succeed. Which narrative favors you?
Wow, I think there are more than two, but okay. As you're asking the question the way you are, and I'm going to say number one, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first pass that he missed to Zach Ertz, I'm watching it very closely. It's the first drive. It's 3rd and 7. They're on the 40. Zach Ertz is wide open, crossing across the middle. He just misses him.
Yep.
Behind him. I wrote in my notebook, uh-oh.
It was you That's thought many things were to come that day along those lines.
And then the following drive, he misses a wide open Miles Sanders in the flat, and I wrote down two more other words. You ready for those two?
Yes.
Chuck Knoblauch.
Yeah, stiff arm. Stiff arm, 2x4 arm, I've called it all week. And so we're on the same page with this. Now, Sal, what? I don't know. Can we determine what the origin is and how it can be fixed?
So why is his confidence waning? And
yes.
It clearly is, okay? It clearly is. Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost, he's got to – we've talked about this last week to the point where people were yelling at me, hey, Sal, move him out of the pocket. Yeah, yeah. I said it on your show last week. He has to be moved out of the pocket. The pocket is collapsing. The offensive line is like a turnstile. You got a lot of moving parts, guys coming in and out of the starting lineup. Andre Dillard cannot pass block. I don't care if he's on the left side or the right side. He looks like a flat-out bust at offensive tackle.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
Good run blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good pass
block. Well, that's
blocker.
Interesting because that's all he did in college was pass block.
Yeah,
standing
in the Pac-12, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that. But, I mean, he's under duress, so they've got to move him outside the pocket. 100%.
Now, we talked about that before the game. Why, why doesn't the coaching staff see the same thing?
You know, I think they do see it. I was kind of surprised that that wasn't part of the game plan. I know that the offensive coordinator, Mike Rose, said they had two or three of them in the game. Mike, I went through the film a couple of times, and I only saw one. And it didn't look designed to me. So I don't really know what he is talking about there, honestly. I didn't think the game plan was very creative or smart. I mean, what's the number one reason they obviously lost the game? You didn't ask me this question, but I'll answer it.
Okay.
They had 5 turnovers. In the last 5 years in the National Football League, if you have 5 turnovers, your record is 1-39. And the quarterback had 4 of them. So that's number one. Why did he have that many turnovers? Because he was under duress a lot of the times. The pocket was collapsing around him. Again, Mike Groh, I'll quote him today. He said the quarterback's got to do a better job of putting 2 hands on the football. Mike, they teach that in junior high school, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and the guy's the $120 million quarterback. He should know that. So that surprised me. And obviously, guys are not getting open. But when guys were open, he didn't hit them.
No, he missed guys. So the equation...
So he's very inaccurate with the football, which goes back to that. And then... Last thing, Okay, so you know you're under duress. You know the quarterback's simply not hitting open guys. So why in the world do you have him drop back 48 times in a game that really wasn't out of hand until the very end and only have 23 rushing attempts? I just don't get it, Mike.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing now. So there's the quarterback right now has no confidence. The coaching staff apparently doesn't really know how to get him out of it. What is the fan base supposed to think about the rest of this season and what the prospects are for this team?
Well, you gotta be able to walk before you can run, right? That's where we are right now. It's totally back to the drawing board. We can agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got to find a way to be productive offensively against Miami. The defense is going to do their job against Miami. Although, you know, Fitzpatrick's had success. He had success in a game in Florida last year against them in a different uniform. So they got to find a way to be productive on offense. They got to do basic stuff. And to me, it begins and ends with handing the ball off to Jay Ajayi and Miles Sanders, because there really is no indication at this point that Jordan Howard is clear for contact. The stinger and the shoulder injury is still a problem. So they've got to get the running game going so that they can walk before they run. That's where the team is right now. Get a win in Miami. Gosh forbid. They lose in Miami.
Wow, then you know the season's over. But
there are different things that are over.
Yeah, I understand that they may have to refigure this whole thing with this QB. But do you see enough success against these bad teams that they can have to make them viable enough to beat Dallas? Because, frankly, they're going to be favored in these games.
They'll be favored in every game they play now, except maybe Dallas.
Right. So in other words, can they store up enough success against these easy teams to make it that they take a confidence level in that home game against Dallas where they can win it?
Michael, I'm going to answer the question the same way. You got to be able to walk before you can run. Before you can ask me whether or not they can get it together enough to beat Dallas, I want to see them, honestly, I really do want to see them get it together enough to beat Miami.
I agree. They have to attack together some really good efforts here in these next three games.
Yeah, I mean, they ran 71 plays. Seattle only ran 57. And they only got the final touchdown in the last few seconds of the game. So the offense is totally gone. It's disappeared. It's not dysfunctional. It's not unproductive. It's totally disappeared. It's been erased. And they need to get it back against Miami. Just put together a first quarter touchdown drive. Let's see what that looks like against the very bad Dolphins.
All right,
then you by next week can talk about what they can do next.
Last question, and I know you heard this story was floating around. Ex-players were hearing it. That Alshon Jeffrey was cleared to play and refused to play. Did you hear anything along those lines?
I was there on Sunday, and I don't know if that's the case or not.
Okay.
I just do not know the answer to that, Mike.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you.
If that's the case, that's pretty bad.
Yes, it is. All right, Sal, we'll talk.
Let's think about that for a second. If he did, in fact, refuse to play, then he could be suspended for cause, and then they don't have to pay him the $9 million next year.
He has to
be smarter than that, right?
Yeah.
When you have $9 million on the line guaranteed, how would you refuse to play? Because then you would give the team an opening to suspend you and then take away that money.
We'll see if he's in the lineup Sunday. Sal, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you, Mike.
Sal Pal, Tuesdays with Sal.
Yes, brought to us by Conkerville Nissan.
That is correct. Time for a break. We'll come back. We have our final Twitter poll. We have Sound Off, Your Calls. Mike Missanelli Show continues.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
1, 2, 3, go!
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer, you're family. Visit familyautos.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Joel Embiid looked awful from start to finish last night. I'm going to look at Joel Embiid and say, what the hell, bro? If you're trying to sell everybody on load management being a bunch of BS, that was not the effort. That was not the performance to put in after you made such a statement. That was embarrassing last night in Toronto. Nobody on that team knows how to win.
VDs with Anthony Gargano.
All of a sudden, there is this question that has arisen. Can Carson Wentz succeed in Philadelphia? This question scares me to my core. This question has the whole franchise hanging on the answer.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It is theoretically impossible to be the size of Joel Embiid and not score points. It's one of the most mind-boggling things I've ever seen. Coupled with the way that game ended, when you got the point guard who is supposed to be a heady player, have no idea what time and situation is. Looking at the screen, I'm just scratching my head. How are these two things possible?
Listen all day, every day. To 97.5 The Fanatic, the voice of the Philly sports fan.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. You know, on Saturday, you know what it is? It's a small business day. So head over to Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown and make your shed look like you're a pro landscaper, because that's the kind of equipment they have, and they have that home personal service right there, and you can check them out at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,500 votes on today's poll. Who are you most frustrated with right now? 38% going Carson Wentz, 32% say Peterson Brown, 18% say Joel Embiid, and 12% say Ben Simmons.
All righty. Thank you very much. Let's get back to the phones. We got John in Northeast Philly on the line. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, John?
A couple things, okay? Talk about Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had so much time last night. You wanted to kill a little time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to actually score too early, give Toronto time. I couldn't believe that. I would have got that to Horford or whatnot. And,
well, you're talking about the shot before you ran the ball down. Tobias, when you need a three-pointer, Tobias Harris looked like he had it teed up, and they got a hand on it. You know, I didn't think it was a bad shot. And plus, if he misses, you got time to get an offensive rebound. So I don't think it was bad they shot it there.
What about, what do you think about Vic's comment on Carson?
Vic's comment on Carson? I said yesterday, perhaps the moment in Philadelphia is too big for him in light of the fact that this is a city that really expects success, gives no quarter unless you have success, and there's this specter of Foles hanging over. I mean, I don't know what's in the kid's head. I don't know. You shouldn't let that kind of thing affect you if you're confident in your ability, but maybe Philly's too big of a city for him to pull it off. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough.
Don't you think that's, okay, I'm going to say, other people are going to say, we're fans, but for an ex-Eagle to make that comment, don't you think that's kind of stupid?
No, he's entitled to his own opinion. I mean, he's a commentator now, so, you know, he's going to fall into hot take situations, too. Maybe it was a hot take. Maybe he's trying to make himself look better by saying that. I don't know.
It wasn't for Andy Reid. He wouldn't even have came back, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Michael Vick really is not a tried and true Philadelphia Eagle. He spent a couple years here.
Or a tried and true quarterback, you know?
Well, he's entitled to say whatever he wants.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Okay, just wanted to know your opinion.
Yeah, you got it. It didn't bother me as much. Dennis Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, let me just read a quote for you. Brett Brown, September 26th. Brett Brown said Sixers will play smash-mouth offense and bully ball defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote here. When you all leave the room, you're talking to the media. When you all leave the room, you should all write this and hear me loudly. We will end up playing smash mouth offense and bully ball defense, Brown said. That's funny because last night they shot 40 threes. The Raptors shot 34. They shot 38 threes against the Suns. They shot 37 threes against the Jets. We're talking about three-point shooting teams that they're shooting more three-point shots than them. All right? So first off, that's one thing. Second of all, they have Al Horford and Embiid still up top by the three-point arc. It's Brett Brown, you have to adjust to your player's strength. Sometimes when you get new players, you have to adjust to their strengths, right? And what I'm seeing, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm down there, and I see it, man. Like, the last 3 years, they had Dario, they had Covington, they had Chimet, right? And I get that offense, what he's running now, would have been better with them.
Shamit, you're talking about.
Shamit. So he's running this offense when he has bully ball players, and they're shooting more threes than playing any bully ball with Brett Brown.
Yeah, the two things here. Number one, when he made that comment, it's like Maximus trying to pump the troops up for to go into battle, right? So I don't really take that to heart. But I think what he's learned is that maybe you can't play bully ball to score the ball in this league, that you need the three-point shot. So he's relented a little bit on that.
No, I understand.
But third of all, last night, if you're talking about last night, there is no way that you shouldn't notice that your 7'2", 280-pound center has not scored a point and therefore get the ball in the post to get him going. There's no way you shouldn't be able to do that.
100%, man. And it's not me, like, crushing Brett. Like, he's a good guy. He was a player development. And he's a good coach. But I think what's going on right now, there is a disconnect. Because when the load management comment come out, and Embiid's not happy about that comment, mm-hmm. you know, load management is Brett Brown. Brett Brown's mm-hmm. the one who's doing the load management. So there's a disconnect right there. Embiid's not happy about the load management. Brett's not letting him play. And then second of all, if you ever notice in the fourth quarter, Mike, when is the most important minutes in an NBA basketball game?
The
second half, right? The second half of fourth quarter, right?
Okay. Yeah, they're all important, but I hear the fourth quarter. Yeah, it was too obvious an answer for me to give.
He has Embiid starting the fourth quarter every game, and then he takes Embiid out with 6 minutes left in the most crucial minutes of a basketball game, and then sits him with 3 minutes left in the fourth and expects Embiid to get up off the bench with 3 minutes left of the game, 3:30 left, and to come in and do something. Like, you know,
why shouldn't he expect that? I mean, my God, what is the guy? Like, a babe? He's an established player in this league. You rest him, come in, give me a bucket. Is it too hard? Because you're sitting down a couple minutes? I don't understand it. We kid glove these players too damn much. Sound Up's coming your way in 5 minutes right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Keep going. Sound off.
Yeah, it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. You got that number in your head? Hit us up. You got something to say? Publish a message. We go through them. We assemble them. Here they are.
So we have a revenge match last night against the Raptors where Embiid left in tears after losing on a doink last year. And last night he scores Zero free throws made. Can we just bring a pillow and a blanket so he can sleep on the sideline or something? I don't get it. What the hell is going on?
Very strange. I would venture to say you'll never see that ever again.
I agree with you. That won't happen
again. Won't happen ever again.
Never again.
This team has not changed one bit over the offseason. There's no closer. Oh, we still have a closer. We don't have a closer anymore. Chaos and turnovers late in games. It's the same thing. Every big game, chaos at the end of the game. You know, you get all talk from Embiid. What has he proven? He's proven nothing.
I'll tell you what. I'm feeling Saturday night whipping the heat. Did that even happen?
It went right away.
Went right away. You got shoved out the door.
Yep.
The Marshmallow Brothers played that game last night, and all those memories of last year's loss came back. The one guy who beat them wasn't even on the team. These two guys are never going to amount to anything. They're going to be the Carson Wentz and Matthews of the Sixers.
One guy? The Raptors had like four dudes missing last night, including Lowry.
Yeah, they had 1,000 guys missing. But it's, you see how they've already decided, not only will Ben and Joe never win anything, Carson Wentz is now never going to win anything now.
You know what that is.
No, that's
it's a frustration reaction.
I think he was being sincere.
Yeah, it's frustrating. He wasn't saying that after Saturday night, was he?
I know.
It took a loss where Embiid scored zero, and Ben forgot how much time was left on the clock.
So the good news is that Joel can now play in back-to-back games. The bad news is, even with a day's rest, his legs are still gassed, and he's completely useless in the third game.
Somebody sent me a photo of him in a Kansas uniform where he looked like Siakam. Now, I know the body changes.
When he was 19?
Yeah. I understand he's a grown man now, and you're not going to... But I still want to see him slimmer.
Let me sound off in a positive way, man. After Buffalo picks up the Cowboys on Thanksgiving afternoon, Jerry's plastic surgery face will explode, and he will fire red. Eagles run the table. All is good.
Hmm. Possible that he makes a move, Jerry Jones, on a coach?
If in the scenario he laid out, the Eagles would win the division even if they lost to Dallas.
Well, no, that's not going to happen. But if Dallas loses...
If they lost to Buffalo, he would absolutely fire the coach.
He would fire.
Because then the coach would have like 10 days, the new coach, to get ready.
No, he's got a guy on his staff that they say is going to take over, right?
Yeah,
what's that guy's name?
I forget, but yeah, he'll take over, and then they'll hire Urban Meyer in the offseason. But, you know, they absolutely will fire the coach if they lose to Buffalo on Thursday.
Urban Meyer would take a pro job?
He's already is campaigning for it.
Really?
Yeah, he said it on that Fox College show that he would absolutely take the... Which is just a snake move, by the way. He's just a snake.
I think we have a problem with the Sixers. Brett Brown cannot get the players to play better. They're regressing. Embiid regressing. Ben Simmons regressing. Get rid of Markel Fultz. He's flourishing down in Orlando. The coach cannot get these players to play. So it's time for him to go. He plateaued, and he just can't get these players to do anything more than what they did in the past.
Where is Markel Fultz flourishing in Orlando? Dude, you got to study. Please, he's not flourishing. He still stinks.
I don't know if it's the weather, but I'm in jolly, jolly mood. Because I think a game like this from Embiid, this is the kind of thing we talk about at the end of the season, after we hoisting the Eastern Conference Championship trophy, you know, on our way to the finals. I think this is one of the things that we look back on and say, look what happened early this season and how we pulled it together. And now look where we're at, getting our shot at the title.
Well, I wish I could feel that. I still think they have a chance to win the division. That's as far as I go. I can't even predict they would win a first-round game at home, to be honest with you. But by these little parameters... Oh, the Sixers. I'm sorry. Anyway, never mind.
Douglas,
I'm in Eagle mode.
Douglas Peterson has got to give up calling the plays. He's in over his head. Things aren't working out. Each week, no flow, no rhyme, no rhythm, nothing. But you know what? Last season, we were down and out a little bit more than we were this season. I got faith in these guys, and I got faith in the Cowboys to blow up what they always do. Let's not count ourselves out yet, boys.
Nah, I'm not counting you out. I mean, I should have. My answer actually worked with that one, the one I gave to the last call.
Yeah.
I was actually ahead of the game.
You're now my answer. On just the division.
What I said before.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I saw Wentz walking off the field with his hand behind his back so the cameras can't see it. Is there another big excuse to now, oh, I can't throw, my hand hurts. Wah, 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 wah. Time to take the bench and get somebody else in there that goes, how the hell the ball?
It was weird that he did that. It was almost like he wanted to show people that it was hurt. Otherwise, you don't do it. Why would he put his hand behind his back as he's walking?
Apparently, it was really swollen, so he was just trying to get it out of the view. That's all. I don't think it was that type of. I don't think it was a calculated thing.
Are we really going to see that it's swollen? All he's swinging his arms.
They saw it at the press conference, and people pointed it out. Yeah. It was like a thing. His hand. When he tackled somebody, his hand got swollen.
That was really dramatic. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sunday. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got an OPD?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Alrighty, that's sound off. 610-771-9705. Stay tuned. The Cousins Corner. It's next from Parks. NBC Sports Philly has quick slants coming at you. Everybody have a great rest of the evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.